Hallelujah. So, worship team, did you decide to sing that song after you saw the title of my message, or you didn't? That was a confirmation. Because honestly, I had a message, and I studied, and I worked hours on it yesterday, this morning, this afternoon. But you know, it was just like towards the, it was just like, this ain't it. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do, God? I don't have time to study now. This is like 4:30, 4:33. But you know, when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you, but you keep going a certain way, you know, you're like, well, unless you drop something in me, you know, I don't know what you want me to do. And so I'm still going with that message. I'm just trying to think. Because I think it was like 5 o'clock when I asked Pastor Ed if he wanted to preach tonight. Because, you know, I like to hear from God. Amen? Amen? And a lot of times we're in a series. I haven't been in a series recently. But a lot of times we're in a series talking about faith, renewing the mind, speaking the word, whatever God gives us. Amen? Last week we talked about seeking God. But lately God has been giving me some one-off messages. And so it was probably about 5:15. And you know how hard I've been working since 5:15? And this is what God is wanting to talk about tonight. That song hit it right on. But the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the promptings. And it was like, man, you know, it's not God. A lot of times we say, God, why didn't you tell me this Wednesday or Thursday? Or, you know, I like to study my stuff. You know? But you know what? Sometimes we're just not listening. We're just so into our zone. This is a great message. I'm going to preach this Sunday night. This is going to really be, lives will be changed. You know, you're into your, you know, you get into these, you know, all of the messages of the word are good. Amen? So I'm going to have to save that message for another time. And just to give you a little nugget, God was bringing me back to Isaiah. If you remember the word God gave us at the beginning of the year about lengthening our cords, stretching our tents, stretching wide our curtains, and hopefully I'll get to preach it next week. But really, he brought it down to I felt like I had it to a level where it was not just about the church, but about you individually, about me individually, in our individual lives. You know, strengthening the, you know, cords. I mean, you know, it was good. So you'll have to come next week if the Holy Spirit lets me preach it. Amen? Amen? Amen. I know it's for a time. I just don't know when it is. But tonight we're going to talk about the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Let's open up in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. And I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. I thank you that when Jesus went, the Holy Spirit came, and I thank you that each and every one of us can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I praise you for it tonight. I thank you that you reveal your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to start out with John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, because it's really important. I titled this The Promptings of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes a lot of people, they don't even know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to them. They don't even think that God can speak to them. But God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He's on the earth today. He is the agent. And there are many times that he is prompting us. All through the book of Acts, he was prompting them. He, you know, Paul, they prayed and they sent out Saul and Barnabas, and they would hear from the Spirit of God. There are promptings in our life. We're the soldiers on the earth. We're the ones that God is going to use. Who's he going to use? He's going to use the church. He's going to use those that call themselves Christians. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a teenager, whether you're a mom or a dad, or you have 10 kids. It does not matter. If you will yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, he will use you. Because there are people all over the world that need to hear They need to hear from God. They need to hear something. And even in your life, even as far as direction, many people get stuck. They get stuck on their jobs. They get stuck in a situation. They don't know what to pray over their children. There are promptings of the Spirit, and we need to get sensitive to that. Amen? It starts with seeking God, like last week we talked about. So let's look at John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to fool you. But it says he will come and guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will, and even not just about the future, not just about prophecy, but he'll tell you about the future in your life. Amen? He'll bring me glory. Jesus is talking here. He'll bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to speak God's will to us in every area. It doesn't matter what area it is. You could be at a red light and the Holy Spirit, you could be at a green light, but it's not turned red yet, and the Holy Spirit will say, stop. He can save your life. He can save your business. He can save your family. But we must get sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? John 10:4 says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Let me ask you this question tonight. Do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? I want to give you a testimony. It was a woman, this is a true story, a woman journalist named Lisa. She had a good job with a good salary, but she quit because she knew God wanted her to work at the Dream Center in Birmingham, Alabama. I can tell you, I'll share that after I share the story. God wanted her to quit this good job and wanted her to work at the Dream Center in Birmingham, Alabama. Lisa shared this testimony, and she talked about their daily dependence on God to meet the needs in their community. It takes hard work and prayer, she said. Then she shared one of the miracles that she had experienced. One day as she was praying for the Dream Center, she felt the Holy Spirit prompting her to take her woolly socks with her to work. She thought she was losing her mind. It was one of the strangest promptings that she had ever had. But she couldn't shake the impression. So she grabbed her woolly socks, put them in her purse, and headed downtown. When she got there, a prostitute was literally passed out on the doorstep. Lisa opened the door, carried her inside, and cradled her in her arms until she regained consciousness a few minutes later. She was so cold that she was shaking. That is when Lisa asked her, if you could have anything, what would it be? And without hesitation, this prostitute, this woman, said, woolly socks. Lisa about lost it. Lisa then told her, look what I have. And she pulled out the woolly socks, and the woman said, they even match my outfit. I'm telling you, when you listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, have you ever had a moment when the Holy Spirit prompted you during prayer to do something that maybe seemed borderline crazy, maybe seemed different? Your response to these promptings, listen, is so important. It's so important. And I can remember, you know, I love this testimony because I can remember I was not quite saved for a year, but I was saved in November. And the whole testimony goes, I ended up meeting pastor in May and we got married in August. But I remember the pastor getting up and they were going to start a Christian school. And I had two jobs at the time. I was working in real estate during the day, running the office, and I was waitressing at night. And I was making good money. Even for today, I was making good money back then. Most of it was going to drugs, but when I got saved, after I got saved, Pastor, then it went into the kingdom. Pastor sanctified it. But anyhow, I remember sitting in the congregation, feeling like the littlest person in the place. Everybody was more spiritual than me. Everybody was, but Pastor was going to start, not Pastor Ed, but our pastor at that time was going to start a Christian school. And I remember sitting in my seat and going, I mean, I felt God so strong. And I was like, oh, if I could only teach in that school. Like, I'd never been a teacher. I didn't know what, you know, I don't even know what I was thinking. You know what I'm saying? But I never went up and said, oh, you know, they were going to this conference and they were training their teachers. I wouldn't even go to the pastor or tell Pastor Ed or anything. And so it wasn't long after that. It was like early August, and the pastor took us out for breakfast, and he asked me to be the main teacher. I didn't even know what I was doing. He told me about they took me to the training. I didn't care. There was me, and I had one aide, and we had kindergarten to 12th grade. And they were all in the same classroom. And then towards the middle of the year, they brought in a real teacher, somebody that taught in public schools, and she took the bottom grades, and I took the top grades. But you know what? That was such a move of the Spirit, because when I took those top grades, they were our pastor. Now, there was supposed to be conditions on how we took students in. I mean, we had families coming in that didn't want us to teach the Bible in a Christian school. Are you kidding me? But we had kids that were being kicked out of high school. We had guys that were 10 feet tall and girls that were like, I mean, the girls were rough, man. I mean, they'd bring beer to the Christian school. But they didn't know what they were coming up against when they came up against me. I did not mess with them. And I had a parent come up one day. We were up on the top floor in a dome. And the parent was looking for the class. And she comes up, and I get the high school class. And she was looking to pick up her son. And she said, I have never in all my life heard a classroom so quiet. I couldn't find you guys anywhere. She couldn't believe it was that quiet. Because I didn't mess with those kids. But I loved those kids. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I would have people come up. Listen, this is what the Holy Spirit, if you'll obey the Holy Spirit, I would have some of the smartest kids come up, and we had trigonometry. How many of you have taken trigonometry? Well, I never even took the class. They just gave me the books and said, this, you got to do this and whatever. And so she would bring up her books, and I don't know what, I'm sitting praying in the Spirit. I don't want this girl to think I don't know what I'm doing. And the thing is, all of a sudden, she'd go, oh, thank you, Mrs. Daniels. That was awesome. I really can see it now. And I looked at the answer key, and she had it right. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. When you obey the Holy Spirit, things turn out right. Amen? It's important. Those are little things. A lot of times people think, well, the Holy Spirit, he just moves in church. He just moves when he says, oh, go pray for that person in a wheelchair, or go raise that person from the dead. But the Holy Spirit wants to work with you in your everyday life. God has called you to be a success in all things, a success in your family, on your job, with your finances, with your business, with your children. He wants to talk to you about everything. And I can tell you, I mean, I was going through things with Pastor. I can't tell you, I honestly can't. It's more than I can number the times that the Holy Spirit, if you're seeking God like we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in every single area of your life. Amen? Hebrews 3, chapter 13 says this in the New Living Translation. It says, you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Do you know a lot of people harden their hearts? They harden, let me tell you what they harden their hearts on. This says you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. It says when you hear his voice, that do not rebel against it. There are things that are holding people back. The promptings of the Spirit that he's been dealing with you for year after year, day after day. I can remember those times when the Holy Spirit dealt with me. I remember when I was getting delivered from all the drugs and I was seeking God. And this is before I met Pastor Ed. But I remember the last drug I did not want to get rid of. Well, this is okay. I made an excuse for it. Oh, I'm okay. I can drive on this drug. I can work on this drug. I can do this on this drug. I can, you know. But every time the Holy Spirit, he was talking to me. He was dealing with me. See, there are things in our lives that we just think it's okay. But the Holy Spirit has something, a victory on the other side of that when you let go of that thing. There are things holding you back. I don't know. It could be as little as cigarettes, or maybe I'm just saying that. I'm not saying cigarette is a sin or anything like that. God knows. I mean, I smoke 2 packs a day. My whole family, I mean, we should have had a chimney over our house. I mean, we were around cigarettes since we were, I mean, I remember at 6 years old coming down the stairs. We had lived in a beautiful house with my grandparents and sitting there at 2 a.m. and watching my grandfather and all of his brothers playing poker, smoking cigarettes and whatever. And it was like a smoke, it was like a cloud, you know, and it wasn't the glory cloud, you know. So we dreamed, every one of us dreamed of smoking. We couldn't wait till we were 18. That's when we could smoke, you know. But what I'm saying is when God spoke to me, you know, I remember, you know, like I got rid of the cigarettes, and many of you have heard the story of my testimony, and then, but it was that last drug. And I knew God was dealing with me. And so here was the Holy Spirit prompting me. God's leading us. He's got a will. He's got a plan. But there are things that enter into our life. And if we don't hear the voice of the Spirit, if we when we don't do or yield, then the opposite is basically we're rebelling, just like the children of Israel did. We're just walking away. That's what God called it. They hardened their hearts to the promises of God. And I believe God is talking to people. He's trying to get you on the other side. He's trying to get you away from those things that are holding you back from your destiny that he has for you, from your future that he has. And I don't, you know, I can't tell you, I can't sit up here and list this and that, only God knows. But I remember that day that I, you know, I was in my car and the Holy Spirit, he said, it's time, you know, and I, you know, some of you might be able to picture this. I had a nice bag of drugs. And I said, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to give it to my friends, you know, my old friends. And they were still my friends at that time. I had made the cutoff yet. And the Holy Spirit, see this, if you hear the Holy Spirit, he will direct you. And people say, well, does God talk to us like that? Absolutely. He comes down and talks to us with how he knows how we can hear him. He said, don't do that. Just empty it out the window. And there I was in Lake Havasu City on McCulloch Boulevard. I rolled down my window and I emptied that bag and I just was, it was flying in the air. And you want to hear a funny story after that? Some of you have heard this before. It was probably, I don't know how many weeks after that. I was at work, and my friends, they had drugs coming out of their ears. So they'd always drop something off. So they dropped me off a bone. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. But I took the bone. So now you got to get this. I'm getting out of work at 11 o'clock at night. I work in the middle of the desert. There's no lights. It's desert roads that go like this for probably maybe, what, 5 miles? Would you say that, honey? Huh? At least. So you're in the middle of the desert. I'm driving home at 11 o'clock at night, and I think, what can it hurt one more, you know? So I pull that bone out, and I light it, and when I lit it, this big ball of fire, I am not kidding, came from the sky vroom, and hit the desert in front of me. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm never going to smoke again. I'm throwing it out the window. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I'm like really, you know. And so I go home. I run in the house, and my dad's the only one up. And I go, you won't believe what happened to me. And I was going to light this and this big ball of fire. And he's like, what? You know, like, what are you on? What's going on? Well, come to find out, I'm telling everybody this story. I'm giving my testimony to everybody. So I get to work the next night. I'm telling everybody at the bar, you know, the bartender, we're all friends. And I'm saying, you won't believe, and this is what happened. They already think I'm Hallelujah Judy. They already think I'm crazy. So they go, the bartender goes, haven't you watched the news? I'm like, who watches the news, you know, back then, you know? He goes, there was a meteorite that hit right here in Lake Havasu City last night. A meteor, I guess that's what they call them, a meteorite, a big ball of fire. And it was all over the Havasu news, I guess. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm telling you, do you think that God sent that? Right at the time that I'm like, I'm thinking, whatever God has to do, right? To shake us up. See, Pastor needed a wife so bad, God had to get me ready. Because he had his faith out for 2.5 years that he wasn't going to date anybody until it was going to be his wife. And so God had to get me ready. Amen? But what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit had already been dealing with me. So I knew, you know, there was just no, there was no going back. There was no going back after that. Amen? So you need to think about, what is it that's holding me back from all that God has for me? Amen? Let's look at another scripture here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. And God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's time to soften up your heart. Break up the fallow ground. Don't harden your heart. This is two things that the Holy Spirit gave me when I was sitting in my car. He said, many times fear can keep you from obeying God. Fear of the unknown. Fear of, I'm going to need this. What about giving? You know, people have a fear of tithing. Well, what if I don't have enough? You know, and this was the other thing. Reasoning can keep you from obeying God. Fear can keep you from obeying God. And reasoning can keep you from obeying God. Well, I don't know about that. Well, let me just figure it out. Well, you know what? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you know. You know it, and he confirms it. I can tell you, this is one of our most recent testimonies of a prompting of the Holy Spirit. They know this, you know, he's going to speak to you. He's going to, listen, I was always in a place of prayer, but I didn't know how to pray the prayer of faith back then. I didn't know anything until I met Pastor Ed. Aren't you glad for your pastor? Yeah. And thank God I got taught the right way. He trained me up the way I should go. Hallelujah. And then I beat him up. I'm just kidding. But listen, but you cannot fear. When we went to our first meeting down at Rodney Howard Brown, somebody offered to send us there and to pay our way. And so we went to the meeting and we didn't know really what to expect and everything. And so we go down there. Anyhow, they're taking an offering. I can't remember if it was the first day or the second day or whatever. And we said, let's pray about the seed that we're to sow. And that was back in 2021. That was back in 2021. How's that better? They're giving me signals back there. Breaking news. We cannot hear you. Hallelujah. Is that better? Okay, good. That was good, guys. So, anyhow, we prayed and we come back and to the next service, and I said, so what do you think? And I don't know what pastor's going to say. Usually I'm the big giver, and he'll go on the other side of it. And all of a sudden, he bursts out in tears. He just starts crying, like, big time. And he goes, $10,000! And I'm like, $10,000? Like, $10,000? But you know what? That $10,000 has caused many breakthroughs for this church. And that's just where it started. If we didn't obey God, you know, we give to a lot of places. We give to different ministries. But when there's an unction on your giving, there's a difference. When you know, sometimes it's just for whatever. God just will just speak to you. And I remember, so the next year we went down, right? And how many times do we go? Two or three? Do we go to the two? So that we went twice, right? So the second time we go down, and I thought we went three times. I think we went three. Because the second time we went down, you know, we thought, what's God going to say this time, you know? I think 15,000. We'll be really bold, you know? We're going to soak 15,000. 20,000, you know? So I said, you know, during the meetings, I said, what do you think that the church, what do you think we should sow? And he goes, 50,000. And I said, are you sure you're hearing from God? Oh, ye of little faith. But we sowed it, and we sowed it immediately. And God, and we are believing for 10 acres of land. We're believing for our building, for our Christian school. I'm telling you, when I pray, I believe we have it in Jesus' name. I feel the unction every time I talk about it. God is wanting this church to have such a strong foundation, and the roots go way down deep so that we can do even a greater work than we're doing right now. We see great things happening on that land. Amen? And so the next time we went down, we're driving down, and we said, do you think this is our seed trip every time we go? Like, this has become our seed trip. This is our for our harvest. Because and a lot of people won't look at finances like that. They won't even tithe, never mind give to God something like that. And we gave even in our personal. And I can tell you, testimony, we wouldn't even be in our home today. Testimony after testimony where we gave even before we even had it. We would make that pledge and we would commit that pledge. But listen to me. We would listen to the Holy Spirit. But if you keep shutting the Holy Spirit out, whether it's in giving or what's holding you back in life, or if you keep shutting that voice down, it'll start getting dull and you won't hear the Holy Spirit. You won't, the book of the Bible will become nothing but law to you and rules and they think this and this church thinks this. That's all it'll become to you. But it'll come to life when you start listening to the Holy Spirit and the promptings of the Spirit. You see, we have to obey God. Look at Moses. He tried to reason it away. God shows up in the burning bush, and he calls Moses to be the deliverer. And Moses tries to reason it away. He's like, are you kidding me? You want me to lead the children of Israel? I'm a murderer. I'm a stutterer. I ran away. I'm in the desert. You want me? Like, he just listened to the conversation he has with God. You can run away. Maybe you've been away from God for a long time. Maybe you've been, you know, hiding somewhere. But I'm here to tell you that God knows where you are. And he's about ready to show up again. And you need to be ready to obey the promptings of the Spirit. Yeah. Get ready to obey God. Get ready to obey the promptings of the Spirit. And you may even be afraid. People, maybe, you know, we could have been afraid to give those finances. We could have been afraid. People are afraid to give their first 10% to God and connect a kingdom business. Don't let fear. God told Joshua, he said, be courageous, be strong and be courageous. Be confident in him. But fear will keep you, things, reasoning will keep you. I mean, so many, and I'm not just talking, I mean, the Holy Spirit is here, and he is here now, and he wants to lead, and he wants to guide, and not even just for our personal benefit. I mean, honestly, when we came back, I've been led of the Holy Spirit to get into cars with people and tell them about Jesus. I would have Pastor Ed drive me over here. I need to get in that car and talk to those people. He didn't know what he'd be, you know, okay, you know, and I jump in the back seat and I'm telling them all about Jesus. This whole family, leading them to Christ. I remember being in Chinatown in Boston. I took Pastor because I wanted to show him Boston, and this is years ago, and I'd be like, oh, I'm supposed to go to that table and witness to those people. And he'd be like, he'd be sitting there eating his food, and he'd go, okay. He never said, you know, he'd say things like, maybe, are you sure? Oh, yeah, I got to go. I just feel it. I'm not saying maybe sometimes we just do dumb things, but I'd rather do dumb things on the side of obeying, following after the Spirit. But I would tell those people about Jesus. Amen. And there are so many people out there right now in the world. And if we can't just obey the promptings of the Spirit and the little things, how are we going to? There may be somebody that you can walk up and give them a word of knowledge and set their life free. There may be somebody that's dying of cancer, but you don't even know that person. But you walk up and say, hey, I feel the Holy Spirit just revealed to me that you have cancer in your body and God's going to heal you today. I mean, I don't know. The gifts of the Spirit need to be in operation. And somebody said, oh, that's crazy. We shouldn't do that stuff. What are we waiting for? Look at the book of Acts. What are we waiting for? And I can tell you, I'm going all over the place because I want you to see whether it's ministering to somebody or whether it's your family and just even with your children, obeying the promptings of the Spirit. Don't let the devil get a foothold. I remember, and I was sharing this with, let me get back here. A couple of things I missed here. And you know what's funny about us sowing seed? I'll say this first. And to Rodney Howard Brown, and our youth are going to the FIRE conference, and to me, he's the most balanced man of God out there. He's just a man of God. But you know what's funny? We were trying to figure this out. We went to see him. How many of you, not many, but how many of you remember our pink truck, our Operation Explosion truck? Remember that? Laurie, do you remember, Laurie Auntie, how that came about? Yeah, we went. I don't know how we ended up there or why, but we went to a meeting in St. Louis, Missouri, and Rodney Howard Brown was having a meeting, and Laurie and Cheryl showed up, and Paula White was there, and they drove this big pink truck out on the stage, and they opened it up, and it was a stage, and it had speakers, and they said this was Church Without Walls was doing, and they were going into the projects, and they were housing areas, and they were seeing thousands saved, and Laurie Auntie and Cheryl come, and I said to them, I saw that, and it was so overwhelming, and I was so moved by it, and I said, I know Laurie and Cheryl's going to come up and just put pressure on me. You know, they're going to just say, we need to do that. I had that, and I was like, and sure enough, they come, oh, Pastor Judy, we got to do this. We got to get a truck. We got to do this. And nevertheless, we got a truck. And for probably, I don't know how many years, we took that truck out into projects. We got thousands of people saved. We have a lot of seed over in the city of Brockton. We really, really do. But it was funny, it was a Rodney Howard Brown meeting. Isn't that amazing? And honestly, we didn't plant any seed in that meeting because we didn't we didn't think we had any seed to plant back then. I don't even know how we got there into that meeting. We drove. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, I don't know why I went over there. I got to get back to where I was going. I guess I went over there for some reason. But, well, let me read the scripture to you, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. This is the Apostle Paul saying this, praying perseveringly. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not quench, do not suppress. Let me read Ephesians chapter 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him. Sometimes we sadden the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequence of sin. And the let me read it in the message. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. I mean, there's so many scriptures that I got to pull up, but I only had about 15 minutes to study this. You understand that when it came. But I am telling you, over and over in our victory, I know that many of you have children. I can't tell you how many times the Holy Spirit would give us answers, would tell us what doctors to take our daughter to, tell us what to pray for, tell us what school to take our son to. Tell us. There was just so many just different areas. My son was in college. He went to AI, that music, whatever, it used to be in Boston, cost thousands of dollars. Of course, mom and dad were paying the bill. And then he decided to go to Massasoit for a while. And God said to me, he said he's going to come to you. The Holy Spirit said this. He said he's going to come to you and he's going to tell you, college is not for me. It's not my thing. Whatever. And so I said, all right. So I got up one night at 3:00 in the morning and my son was in the living room. And he said, Mom, I need to talk to you. He felt bad because we didn't know how much this stuff cost. He said, I got to talk to you. And I knew the Holy Spirit said it's going to happen right now. And I knew that it was okay because the Holy Spirit let me know that it's okay. Sometimes we have a plan for our kids. Sometimes we think it should be a certain way. But we need to be open to what the Holy Spirit says. Amen? And so you got to listen. And then I remember when he was 6 months old, the Holy Spirit spoke to me so many times concerning both of my children. We were visiting Ed's parents in California before they moved back here. And Ed's mom said, and she didn't mean it in a mean way or anything, she said, you better cherish every moment because one day they're here and the next day they're gone. And I felt like this overwhelming fear and dread, and I went to prayer, and immediately, it was the Holy Spirit. He told me, just release my son into his hands. And I released him, and I said, I don't care if he goes to the other side of the world. I will never let it affect me like that. I will love him. I will be there. And he lives in California, and we're as tight as anything. I go out there and do all of his friends' weddings. Can you believe that? And it's the Holy Spirit connecting me with these people that have not been in church, that have not known Jesus. They send me texts. They send me pictures of their babies now, and they want to come to Boston, and they just, you know. And I'm telling you, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. And just a couple of other things, and then we're going to get ready for worship. I had to write these things down. Okay, here's another one. So, I had, I'll tell you two and then we're going to close it down, okay? I had a lump on my thyroid. This is why it's important to put the Word of God to work in your life. And it was big, and they wanted to go in and do a biopsy, and they were concerned about it. So the doctors called me, and they set up an appointment, and the appointment was like 3 weeks away. And you might as, it might have been three, it, might, it felt to me, it felt like 3 years away. I'm like, 3 weeks? I don't want to wait that long. I want to get, you know, and I want to find out what the what's going on in there, you know? And so they're like, they said, well, that's the soonest appointment we can get. Well, we put the Word on it. We prayed. We kept confessing the Word. We just kept believing God, you know, and all the things that we said. And so it was a Wednesday night, and I hardly ever come up for Pastor to pray for me. And the Holy Spirit said, go up, have your husband lay hands on you. This is, you got to obey the promptings of the Spirit now, and you will be healed. So I walked up. I didn't tell him. Nobody knew what I was going through. And I looked at him, and I said, pray for me. Just don't say it out loud. I didn't want the whole world to be like, oh, Pastor Judy got a lump on her thyroid. She's going to die, you know. Whatever. So he prays for me. We go to the doctors the next morning. It was an 8:30 appointment. They lay me on the table. They got the cameras there, and they got the gooey stuff, and they got the big long needle. And so they go on, and Pastor's in the room with me. They go on, and they're going again. There was no lump. It was completely gone. Completely gone. The promptings of the Spirit. I know, you know, I might not always obey the Holy Spirit. Don't let me give you the wrong impression. I try my best, believe me. But every time I have, God has done like a miracle. And I'll tell you this last one. Even getting over here, when we came over to Norwell, it was just like the promptings of the Holy Spirit came on us. We knew we were supposed to be in this area. We felt the heavens open when we stepped out of the car that day. But this is one that is going to be hard for many of you to believe. This is years ago, and I went to a children's conference. This, I figured this was 35 years ago because that was the place that God spoke to me about Pastor Mike becoming our youth pastor. So I was trying to figure out his age. So I'm thinking it was 35 years ago. So my sister was running the children's church at that time. And so Willie George was coming to Washington, D.C. And Linda Dalton was our secretary. And there's two airports in Baltimore. And we were going to stay at the hotel right next to the airport. But Linda and all of us didn't know there were two airports. So she made reservations at the wrong airport. Pastor reminded me, he said, that was Linda Dalton that did that, right? Linda over here? So we had to rent a car and drive to the other airport instead, so we could, because we had reservations at that hotel. And so anyhow, we go there, we go to the meeting. Well, coming home, we had to catch a plane like at like 7 in the morning or something. So we had to leave like in the dark in Washington, D.C. It's like we're driving. It's so dark. We get in the car. We don't have a cell phone. We don't have a GPS. We don't even have a map. We're asking the people at the front desk, can you tell us how to get to the airport? Yeah, right. They tell us. We get in the car. We get totally lost. And my sister is freaking out. She's like, Judy, what are we going to do? I'm like, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. So we pray. We say, God, we need a miracle. We need to get to that airport. We need to get to that plane. It's pitch black out. We felt like we were in a really bad area. And I had to really exercise love towards Linda. I'm just kidding. My sister's going, how did you do this? How did you get us in this mess? And I'm like, let's just pray. So we prayed, and after we prayed, I looked up, and the Holy Spirit said, follow that taxi. And I said, Wilma, the Holy Spirit said, follow that taxi. And she said, follow that taxi? How do you know where that taxi's going? I said, that taxi's going to the airport. And we followed that taxi for about 20 miles, and all of a sudden we saw Baltimore International, whatever the name of the airport was. You see, when you pray, the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, I could tell you, there's just so many things. And you know, if you will just listen to the promptings of the Spirit, where your kids should go to school, everything, you know, I'm telling you, it just everything in life. He knows about you. He knows your future. Amen. And so we're going to pray for you tonight. I'm going to have our worship team come. I don't know how long I preached. They said that I went 12 minutes over, but and you know what? It was at that conference. Oh, I think I already told you that God spoke to us about Pastor Mike, and we came home, and you know, here's this kid with long hair. Pastor Ed said, Pastor Mike? He said, I don't think he's ever said hi to me. Well, he wasn't Pastor Mike back then. He said, Mike Faherty? You see, I don't care who you are. You might be 17 years old, but God's got a plan for your life. You might be 18. You might be 95. How old was Moses? How many years was he out in the desert? Was he 80 when God called him? I don't know. It doesn't matter. God's got a plan. Amen? Especially if you have a business. Stop praying. There's an open door that you haven't even seen yet. If you're a tither and you're giving God, I'm telling you, maybe you're believing God for a business. Maybe there's something that you're doing. Stop praying over that. The Holy Spirit will prompt you. You will be amazed how much breakthrough that you can have, even in your finances, even in your body, at whatever situation that it is. God wants to be a part of your life through the Holy Spirit. But you've got to start getting used to those promptings, you know? Maybe you're watching movies 24 hours a day, or you're playing games, but that Holy Spirit's dealing with your inner. He's trying to lead you into something bigger, something better. He wants to be a part of your life. Amen? He wants to be a part of your life. Start listening to the Holy Spirit. Start opening up yourself, and you'll see great things begin to happen. Amen? So, with that, now the worship team come. I want you to stand. If you're here tonight, just in case, and you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, hey, tonight's the night. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. God loves you. God has forgiven you of every sin. But in order for you to get into heaven, you got to receive that. You got to receive His love. You got to receive His forgiveness. You got to receive what He did for you. So we're going to say this prayer right now. I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to be the Lord of your life. Amen? To be the Savior of your life. Hallelujah. Let's everybody bow their heads for a moment. I want everyone to say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I love you, Lord. And I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to take away my sins, to die for me. I thank you that through your Son Jesus, I have been forgiven of all my sins, cleansed by His blood. And I ask Jesus now to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you forgave me. And I receive you as my Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, hey, I want, before you leave tonight, you need to visit that Next Step table. They will pray with you. They have some material that'll help you. You can ask any one of us around here questions. I'm telling you, it's the first day of the best of your life. Amen. Yeah. of the rest of your life. So now, I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to ask you, I felt so directed by the Holy Spirit, and I want you to answer the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what it is. It could just be something stupid. It doesn't even have to be some sin. It doesn't have to be, I don't know. It could, I don't know what it is. But I'm convinced, because of what the Holy Spirit led me to do tonight, that there are things that are holding you back from all that God has for you. And tonight's the night you need to let them go. Whatever that situation is, and you think, well, I can't do it. Absolutely, you can't do it. I couldn't let go of those drugs. I couldn't let go of my friends. I had a lifestyle. You know, we get in a lifestyle when you're a kid, especially when you're young. I loved my lifestyle until I got saved. Then I hated my lifestyle because I wanted to serve Jesus. But there are things that you just got to let go of. And God is wanting to set you free tonight. He's wanting you to push those things out of the way. And I don't know what they are. They could be simple things that maybe are not like this, like big, you know, huge sin or anything. Just something is holding you back from running after God with everything that is in you. Does that mean you have to be in the ministry? No. Run where you are. When you give yourself 100%, when you let those things go, you'll be surprised how the heavens will open over your home, over your life, over your situation. Things will begin. This is the time. Like Pastor said, this is the last of the last days. Why do you want to hold on to something that's just going to keep you from the best? And you know that God's speaking to you. I want you to step out of your seats, and I want you to come on up here. We're not going to fool around with this. You say, you know what? I'm going to go 100% for God. You know, when I did that, 100% for God, 3 months later, I was married. I didn't even know Pastor Ed. 3 months later, I met Pastor Ed. It was in February that I gave 100% to God. I gave my life. I let things go. That was in February. I met him in May, and we were married in August. I'm telling you, and I'm not, and I just believe God wants to do things in your business, in your life. There is no life without God. There is no life. Now I want you to lift up your hands toward heaven. And let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to put that on the altar. Only you know what that is. I don't know what is holding you back. I don't know what is keeping you. It's really, I'm trying to describe the word. It's the most worst feeling in the world to feel bound up. You're doing everything you know to do in the flesh. You even feel like you can fix everything, but nothing seems to, there's no joy in it. There's no, something's missing. The one thing that's missing is letting God take control. He wants to be involved in your business. He wants to be involved in your life. I don't mean just business like a corporation. I mean your life business. He wants to be involved. Put that on the altar and say, God, this is it. Imagine that's in a plastic bag and you're emptying it out of your car window. No more. No more. I'm running with God. It's all that matters. It's all that matters. It's all that matters. It's all that matters. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands toward heaven. Holy Spirit, I know you directed this tonight. And I thank you. Just as I was set free, as they are obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit tonight, that they are breaking loose from all those that have bound them, all of those things that have held them back. Breaking loose, breaking loose, breakthrough, breakthrough. It's breaking in Jesus' name. It's breaking in Jesus' name. It's breaking. God loves you. He's concerned about your personal life. He's concerned about your bathroom floor if you want him to be concerned about it. He is concerned. God is omnipresent. You can't think, oh, he just is concerned about big stuff. He's everywhere all the time. And if you will use your faith and believe that, he'll show up. He'll show up. No more. No more. Don't listen to the enemy because he's telling you you can't get free. I know he's talking to some of you right now and saying, you can't get free of that. Or he's deceiving you and saying, there's nothing wrong with that, when the Holy Spirit prompted you. That's what we do. We go, oh, that's okay. That's okay to whatever. I'll just say what he deals with my life. I don't want to watch an R-rated movie. But the devil will come and say, oh, it's okay. You can watch that movie. There's only a few bad things in there. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying. That's how the devil, he just tries to, I want to be holy before God. I want to run after God. I want to be in the center of his will. Say this with me. Dear God, I want to be in the center of your will. I am turning this over to you. I'm placing it on the altar. And I thank you for the promptings of your precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want to hear from you.